In the name of God, who is creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. When I was a kid, we had a trampoline. Back then, trampolines were not circular with those silly nets surrounding them. Do those really make trampolines any safer? I don't think so. Instead, our trampoline was a rectangle. And as a budding gymnast, I loved spending time on it. But we all did. We all loved the trampoline. It was our favorite place to hang out. And our trampoline was tucked on the far side of the backyard where no parents could watch us from the kitchen window. And because the trampoline was at the end of our property line, it was surrounded on three sides by wood fencing. You know the kind where the boards are all placed one after the other in vertical position to provide maximum privacy, but with three boards placed horizontally at the bottom and the middle and the top to secure the structure. These horizontal boards were crucial to our play. We would stand on the horizontal boards in the middle, halfway up, when we were waiting our turn on the trampoline, or climb to the top horizontal board for a very unsafe dismount. It was a lot of fun. One of the three sides of fencing backed up to our alley. And the alleys in our neighborhood were like dirt roads running behind all of the backyards. And every few houses down the alley would be a giant dumpster. They probably weren't that big, but in my mind, they are huge. So really, the only reason to visit the alley was to take out the trash. And because the opening of the dumpster was taller than my head, I rarely ventured back there. However, our fencing along the alley was different. It all started when my maternal great-grandmother, Dory, told my parents about this wonderful recipe she had for Concord grape jam. To hear her describe it, this jam was the best thing in the world. And oh, how she longed to make it. But she could never get the Concord grapes to grow. My dad, who grew up on the farm and whose mother had grown several varieties of grapes over the years, decided to grow these Concord grapes for my great-grandmother Dory, so that we could make her most favorite jam. And where did my dad plant these grapes? In the alley, across from the dumpsters. The only people who knew they were there were the people taking out their trash. Now, I remember my dad hanging wire in a crisscross pattern on the fencing for the grape vines to climb. And I remember making the jam with my parents, boiling the grapes with their skins on, squeezing the fruit from their skins, working the fruit through the sieve to separate the meat from the seeds, and then adding the skins back into the mix so it would be purple. And my great-grandmother was right. The Concord grape jam was amazing. But what I remember most about those Concord grapes is standing on one of the horizontal boards of our fence next to the trampoline and reaching over the fence to grab a cluster of grapes and then popping them in my mouth, one by one, on the trampoline. Nothing in this whole world has ever tasted sweeter. The skins could get a little leathery and dusty, so often we would just squeeze them and pop the fruit right into our mouths, just the sweet, juicy green meat of the grape. And on a hot day, oh, it was an absolute taste of heaven. I think about that sweet season of life when I hear today's gospel reading of Jesus' declaration, "I am the vine. I am the vine." I think about how my parents used to carefully wrap the vines around the crisscross wires in the early stages of grape growing, helping the vine to find its way along the wire that would support its growth for years to come. I think about that delicate circular practice wrapping the vines around and around. And it's not unlike the circular language we read in 1 John. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God." Can you hear it? With every beloved, with every mention of God, with every word of love, it's as if one is wrapping the vine and its branches around that which upholds it. I think of that when I think of what it means to abide. In some places, the vine and its branches are simply resting on the wire. In other places, they cling to it. And still in other places, they stretch to the limits, trusting the support that is bolstering them. We abide in God so that we can remain alive and healthy. We abide in God so that we can bear much fruit. But to what end? Does the fruit just stay on the vine? Purely decorative? No. The fruit is given away. The fruit is for sharing. The only way anyone can know how sweet the fruit is to take it and eat it. Take, eat. This is my body. This is my fruit. This is my love given for you. Whenever you eat it, do this in remembrance of me. We can't just look at the fruit. We have to taste it. We can't just study the fruit. We have to experience it. We can't just look at the good work people are doing in the world to share the love of God. We have to participate in it. And we don't just cultivate gifts of compassion and leadership and wisdom and patience and joy to experience some kind of inner peace we keep to ourselves. We cultivate these gifts of God in us to share them, to give them away. You've got to grow so that you can give yourself away. You know how the old saying goes, the love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love until you give it away. Love isn't love until you give it away. Abide in God, no matter where you are. It could be someplace extravagant as the vineyards of Bordeaux, France, or in a humble Texas alley across from the dumpsters. Abide in God, no matter what it looks like for you, resting in God, clinging to God, or seeing how far you can reach while anchored to God. Abide in God so that you can give God's self and love's self and yourself away, knowing that there is always more God, always more love, always more of you to come. Amen.